wanted to welcome the Reverend David Fish to our pulpit this morning in Paul's absence. There's a little bit of a bio about David in the bulletin, but David joined us as a member a short time ago, and we welcome him and look forward to hearing from him this morning. On a sad note, I need to let you know that Roger Zimmerman passed away last night. His daughter emailed Paul, and he's let us know. His service will be on June 20 at 2 o'clock at church. And I believe we also have some other announcements.
And in case you haven't seen it in the bulletin, we've got a wonderful kayaking trip going on the 21st of June, Sunday the 21st at 2 o'clock. It's free, and anyone who's ever been kayaking or canoeing or would even like to try it is welcome to come and join us. There's a sign-up sheet out in the hall, so please give it a thought. It's all ages.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Welcome to June, and as they say, winter is coming. Soon. I just wanted to give you a brief update about the search to find a new settled minister. I think there's some demand for that. So, first of all, thank you to everyone that has reached out to myself or other members of the executive committee. We love hearing from you, we listen to you, and you make a difference. Secondly, I'd like to invite you to the church council meeting to observe on Tuesday night. That's where we'll be making a lot of decisions about how to go about the search. This will be our first church council meeting since Reverend Paul announced his resignation. I have been learning a lot about how you replace a minister, a settled minister, and basically there are three steps. First is an immediate replacement, which is often called a pulpit supply minister or a bridge minister. And I will say that I am working with Southwick with that. That is not really a pairing agreement. It's more of a, they'll be in the same area, you know, at the same time. So they get one sermon and give it twice and get paid twice. On Tuesday night, the second step is an interim minister. And for those of you who've been here around, that would be Reverend Julie a couple years ago. On Tuesday night, we'll be forming an interim search committee, and those three or four folks will be responsible for finding an interim minister. The interim minister may hang around a year or two to help us find a settled minister. So my statements are, if you would like to be on that committee, please talk to me or an executive committee member before Tuesday night. And we will be communicating with you after the meeting as to who those are. And the final thing is finding the settled minister. There'll be a separate search committee for that, and that usually is formed, I'm told, after the interim minister arrives. I also want to give the congregation a commitment from all of us in the church executive and the church council that the congregation will be asked to vote on all important decisions. I know that do we share with Southwick or not? That's one of them. You guys will choose. It will not be anyone else but you. So what can you do? Express your opinions and continue to express your opinions. It's welcome. If you want, come and observe Tuesday night's church committee. Continue to support this church. That's important. And finally, have a great and enjoyable summer. Hopefully it's not too hot. Thank you.
Thank you, Dan. And winter's coming in Australia, not in the U.S. Just a real quick update. As you can see, part of the north side of the sanctuary is open again. Update on the organ, we're ahead of schedule. The missing pipes that are there are up in Vermont being repaired, and there's a few more things being repaired up in Vermont, but it's almost back to normal. It's been an educational experience for those of us that have had the privilege of working on it. But if you have any questions, talk to a choir member.
breath
and settle ourselves for worship. Please join me in the call to worship found printed in your worship guide. We gather as a faith community that works toward welcoming all to our church.
We gather today to be refreshed, renewed, and strengthened in our faith, and remind us all for the work we must do together.
Listen, there is a voice calling us.
It is the voice of our divine love.
The one who loves us invites us to mingle our voices together.
We call out in worship and praise together.
Bring your hopes and expectations and longings that you have carried with you throughout the week.
Here they are. We speak them in our spirit and with our words.
Come and worship. Come and praise. Come and pray.
We commit ourselves to this sacred time of celebration.
Please join me in our opening hymn, "We Are People of God's Peace," found in the Blue Hymnal, number 582.
Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Scripture reading comes from the book of Genesis. The story of Abraham and his wife Sarah begins with God's call to him to leave his country and to journey to a new land. It is there God promises that Abraham and Sarah will be the proud parents of a new nation. This begins the epic tale of God's relationship with the nation of Israel. Our first reading this morning is from the 12th chapter of the book of Genesis, starting at verse 1 through 9. Now the Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and the ones who curse you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So Abram went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Abram took his wife Sarai and his brother's son Lot and all the possessions that they had gathered and the persons whom they had acquired in Haran, and they set forth to go to the land of Canaan. When they had come to the land of Canaan, Abram passed through the land of the place at Shechem to the Oak of Moreh. At the time, the Canaanites were in the land. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your offspring I will give this land." So he built there an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. From there he moved on to the hill country on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar to the Lord and invoked the Lord's name. And Abram journeyed on by stages toward Negev. Our God is still speaking. I'm still up. Let's read responsively our psalm from Psalm 33. Rejoice in the Lord, O righteous. It is good for the just to sing praises.
Praise the Lord with the harp. Play to God on the psaltery and the lyre.
Sing for God a new song. Sound a fanfare with all your skill upon the trumpet.
For the word of the Lord is right, and all the works of God is sure.
God loves righteousness and justice. The loving kindness of the Lord fills the whole earth.
By the word of the Lord, we have been sustained. By the breath of God's mouth, all the heavenly hosts.
God gathers up the waters of the ocean as in a waterskin, and stores up the depths of the sea.
Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all who dwell in the world stand in awe of God.
For God spoke, and it came to pass. God commanded, and it stood fast.
The Lord brings the will of the nations to naught, according to the signs of the peoples.
But the will of the Lord stands fast forever, and the designs of God's heart from age to age.
Happy is the nation whose God is the Lord. Happy the people chosen to be God's home.
Our gospel reading is from the 9th chapter of Matthew, where I shall begin with the 9th verse. As Jesus went on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth. "Follow me," he told him, and Matthew got up and followed him. While Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" On hearing this, Jesus said, "It is not the healthy who need the doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. My daughter has just died, but come and put your hand on her, and she will live. Jesus got up and went with him, and so did his disciples. Just then, a woman who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak. She said to herself, "If I only touch his cloak, I will be healed." Jesus turned and saw her. "Take heart, daughter," he said. "Your faith has healed you." And the woman was healed at that moment. When Jesus entered the synagogue leader's house and saw the noisy crowd and people playing pipes, he said, "Go away. The girl is not dead, but asleep." But they laughed at him. After the crowd had been put outside, he went in and took the girl by the hand, and she got up. News of this spread through all that region. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
As you all can probably tell, Martha's my coach. Now the Lord said to Abram, "Get out of your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land that I will show you." You think about it, that was a lot for God to ask. In that day, people grew up in villages with their parents and grandparents. They raised their children there. Their children took care of them in their old age. To cut those ties was a big deal. I'm sure for some of you, Westfield is where you were born and raised, and that's where you have your roots. My roots happen to be in West Springfield, though I don't have any family living there anymore. Our society is a much different place today than it was back then. There was a time we couldn't see leaving our hometown forever. Think about Abram's initial reaction to God's call for him to leave his home and his family. He didn't know where his final destination was going to be. He couldn't put his finger on a map and say, "That's where I'm going." God would show him where to go. But the divine did not reveal the destination to Abram ahead of time. God did, however, make a promise. He promised Abram a reward. He said, "I will make of you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great. You will be a blessing." Going off topic here just a little bit, I want to make a clarification that you may know or may not know. We hear the names Abraham and Abram being used to signify the same person. However, it was God who changed Abraham's name to Abram. Name changes are actually kind of frequent in Scripture. The Apostle Simon became the Apostle Peter, and Saul, who condemned the early Christians, became the Apostle Paul. So just so you know, there can be interchangeable at times. Anyway. Abraham obeyed God's call, and God did make of him a great nation. But that did not happen immediately. It would be a long time before Abraham and Sarah even had a child. How could Abraham be the father of a great nation if he was not the father of even one child? But give it up for Abraham. He never stopped believing God's promise. Think about how many of us are really willing to wait on God. A lot of us want instant gratification. We expect answers to our prayers the way we want them answered and in a timely fashion. Kind of normal. But in Paul's letter to the Romans, he describes Abraham this way. He was at almost 100 years old, but his faith did not weaken. When he thought of his body, which was already practically dead, or of the fact that Sarah could not have children, his faith did not leave him, and he did not doubt God's promise. His faith filled him with power, and he gave praise to God. He was absolutely sure that God would be able to do what God had promised. Again, God said, get out of your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land that I will show you. A lot of protection staying in God. Jesus tells us in the Gospel of John, in my Father's house are many homes. I will come again and you will receive and will receive you to myself, that where I am, you may be there also. A new home. God was faithful to Abram. He made a great nation of Abraham and Sarah, and Jesus is faithful to us. Again, God does things in God's own time and not in ours. And God did not even begin to fulfill his promise to Abraham until Abraham was old and Sarah was past the age of childbearing. Then their son Isaac was born. Many years would pass before Isaac begat Israel, and Israel begat the 12 sons, and the 12 sons became the great nation that God had promised. God kept his promise to Abram, but Abram saw only a tiny bit of that promise fulfilled. Again, sometimes we have to wait on God and we wonder why. God has promised to reward us. We do our best and then wonder what's taking so long. We pray, we go to church, and we wait. Some of you may have heard of this person, but I want to share a quick story about her. Corrie ten Boom. When the Nazis invaded Holland, Corrie and her family hid Jews in their home. They were later betrayed, so Corrie and her sister Betsy were sent to Ravensburg, a Nazi death camp. In Ravensburg, Betsy awakened Corrie one night. Corrie pulled a coat over their heads so the guards would not hear them. Then Betsy whispered in a voice that was near death, God showed me that after the war, we must give to the Germans that which they now try to take away from us, our love for Jesus. Corrie was appalled. Oh, Betsy, you mean that if we live, we have to return to Germany? Betsy said that in her vision, God gave them a concentration camp, a death camp, which they would use to rebuild lives. Then they would travel the whole world telling people about Jesus. Corrie protested, to all the world, but that will take much money, Betsy responded. Yes, but God will provide. After all, he owns the cattle on a thousand hills. If we need money, we will just ask the Father to sell a few cows. Can you imagine such an awe-inspiring vision in such a dark, dank, and deadly place? It seemed impossible to comprehend, and 3 days later, Betsy died. The impossible dream was over. Or was it really? But Corrie survived Ravensburg. After the war, she felt God's call to go to America to tell her story, but everyone wanted to go to America. There was no way to get a passport. There was no way to get the money. There was no way to get a ticket. But each time, Corrie turned it over to God and every door opened. Within weeks, she found herself in New York City with little money and no contacts. She stayed at the YWCA. At the end of the week, the clerk told her she had to leave. There were so many people that wanted a room that they could only stay 1 week at a time. Did she have a forwarding address? Corrie told him that she had a forwarding address, but she just didn't know where yet. Like Abram, God had a place for her, but had not told her where it was. Then the clerk remembered the letter that had come for her. He handed it to her, and she read these words from a woman that she did not recall ever meeting. She said, I heard you speak in the Jewish congregation. I'm aware that it is almost impossible to get a room in New York City. My son happens to be in Europe, so you are welcome to use his room as long as you are in New York. Corey showed the clerk the letter. She said, "That's my forwarding address." God opened doors for her. He opened a door in Staten Island, which led to an open door in Washington, D.C., which led to open doors in churches and synagogues. She traveled across the United States telling her story. She traveled to the Pacific Islands. She traveled to Asia, and yes, she returned to Germany. This is where she transformed a camp of death into a camp of life for German refugees. She spent the last 30 years of her life traveling the world as an ambassador for Christ. God fulfills promises made, not always in the time that we would like, but God fulfills his promises. God called Abram and was faithful to that promise. God called Betsy and Corey and was faithful to that promise as well. It's important to remember that no matter where we may physically be, home is where the heart is, and our hearts are in Christ. Amen. Let us come together in a spirit of prayer. Loving God, you have created us, blessed us, and forgiven us. You send us to share your forgiveness with fellow sinners. Help us to do that eagerly and well. Give us strength to find our joy and purpose in life by loving you with our whole heart, soul, mind, and strength, and our neighbors as ourselves. Help us to shape your church into an image that even Jesus would recognize. Make it a place of steadfast love and righteousness. Make it a place of forgiveness, invitation, hope, and praise. Make it a place of truth and grace. Like Abram, Sarai, and Matthew, we are called to do new things that may not always be accepted. Help the persecuted. Give them the fullness of joy that Jesus promised, because he has overcome the world. Help them to share that joy and the hope that is within them, even with their enemies, so that in Christ they may be reconciled. Guide the people of this congregation in pathways of faithful worship, loving service, and wise words. Let everything we say and do help lead even one other person into a relationship with Jesus. We ask you, O God, to please give wisdom, integrity, and common sense to everyone in positions of authority in our country and around the world. Teach them rightly to use the authority and power entrusted them, and help all of us to be good neighbors, citizens, and stewards of your creation. Your Son healed everyone who called upon him for aid. We pray, therefore, on behalf of everyone who suffers in body, mind, and spirit, especially those who are on our prayer list for joys and concerns, as well as those prayers that remain in the silence of our hearts. Hear our prayers, O God, and answer them as may be best for us, and give you glory. Amen. We are called to build a community, one beyond the status quo and beyond our own expectations. This comes at a cost of time, talent, and treasure. Our gifts are likewise varied by valuable in the sight of God and each other. It is our willing hearts that make our gifts precious. It is our giving, no no matter how much or what kind we connect our spirits and continue the work of the kingdom of God. With this, our morning offering will be received. selfish ways and self-serving pursuits. Let our offering today fulfill your purposes, not ours. Let these gifts summon others to follow Christ. Let them know the joy of breaking bread with the great physician who offers healing to all who dare to trust your mercy. Amen. Please be seated. As grain that was scattered on the hillside was gathered together and made into one loaf, so we are bound together around Christ's table and become one. As grapes grown in the field, we are gathered together and pressed into wine, so we are transformed in Christ's self-giving love for all. All are welcome to this table. May God be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
Lift them up to God.
Let us give thanks to God Most High.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
All powerful and ever living God, we do well always and everywhere to give you thanks. All things are of your making. All times and seasons obey your law. But you chose to make us in your image, setting us over the world in all its wonder. You made us the stewards of creation to praise you day by day for the marvels of the wisdom and power through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so together we lift our voices to praise in your song. With the regular blessing. He broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said to them, "Take this, all of you, and eat it. This is my body, which has been given up for you. Whenever you do this, do it in memory of me." When it came time to share the cup, Jesus again dispensed of the regular blessing. He gave the cup to his disciples and said, "Take this, all of you, and drink from it. This is the cup of my blood, the blood of the new and everlasting covenant. It will be shed for you and for all so that sins may be forgiven. Whenever you do this in memory of me." Through the broken bread, we participate in the body of Christ. Through the cup of salvation, we participate in the blood of Christ. Come, for all things are ready. Ministering to you in his name, I give you this bread. Take, eat. ministering to you in his name, I give you this cup. Take and drink. Let us join together in our prayer of thanksgiving. We give you thanks and praise, O God, that you have fed us with your mercy and poured out your Spirit in this place. Continue to nourish and fill us each day, that we may live as your beloved people. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Service to one another now begins. Go in peace. Amen.